off your to-do list.
Witnesses to what happened at Fort Hood during that Major Hassan attack that left too many people dead and others wounded are getting a chance to speak at a hearing. Speaking of troops, how could we leave the troops out in the cold when it comes to absentee ballots? But that's what's happened. State Board of Elections are saying they're going to get hit with court orders from the Department of Justice after many local boards missed the deadline to ship the absentee ballots out to 320,000 members, citizens of this country who are serving overseas. That's ridiculous. A clear-cut violation, no less, of the Military and Overseas Voter Empowerment Act. We want everybody to have a chance to vote. My goodness, these are the people who are out there in the trenches day after day. And fair or foul, when your neighbor has religious signs or any signs in their yard, should they have to take them down? Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney's my name. This show, of course, America Tonight. We're just kicking the can down the road. If you want to chime in and throw in your 2 cents on any or all of it, feel free to jingle these numbers. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. All right, let's talk about this one. Having to go back in the recesses of their mind and relive what happened at Fort Hood. That's exactly what's happening for the first time in a year, because remember, it was November 5th. That was the fateful day that Army Major Nidal Hassan opened fire at an Army base that was thought to be very secure, and which is one of our biggest Army bases in the United States. It's an Article 32 hearing in military court. It should last about 3 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. And they're going to determine whether there is enough evidence to put the psychiatrist, that's what Hassan is, on trial. It will also be the first time witnesses have testified about the worst ever shooting on a U.S. military base. So it's pretty unique, really, if you look at the military court system. Prosecutors and the defense can call the witnesses, and both sides are able to question them and present all kinds of other evidence. Hassan is charged with 13 counts of premeditated murder, 32 counts of attempted premeditated murder. And once this all begins, he'll be sitting very close to those witnesses who are expected to, in great detail, talk about the attack. Very sad. We were on the air that day, and sad to think that you had the Soldier Readiness Processing Center that became a nightmarish place. There was about 300 people there. It's where soldiers have to go before they're sent out. They get the vaccinations and the dental screenings, and they finalize the wills and talk to a chaplain or whatever they need to do. And then suddenly that's when Hassan jumped up on a desk, screamed out, Allah Akbar, and started firing 2 guns. Fired 100 rounds. 100 rounds ricocheting off the desk, the tile floor, people ducking for cover. The whole rampage actually was about 10 minutes. And, you know, in the end of this too, Hassan himself is paralyzed and, of course, in custody facing these charges with the Article 32. The people who were killed were, a lot of them were young, barely 19, all the way up to 62 and almost done with their career. There was even a pregnant soldier in the mix of all of this, and you're not expecting that kind of a phone call from the Army base. Gee, sorry, your pregnant daughter is dead. Is dead? What are you talking about? Well, loosely, here are the details on what happened. Just, I'm sure, a horrible day for any of those families. And, you know, the military started to make a few changes, at least, including the whole weapons policy for the bases. And the Defense Department's final report on the shooting said that military supervisors have to have access to soldiers' personnel records and have to be aware of potential workplace violence. But here's the thing. Would that have been a red flag with Hassan? And the answer is no. Some people afterwards said, oh, he did this, he did that, he seemed a little off, whatever. But no, he would not have been flagged. I don't believe that. So how much protection is there actually for the people who are serving in the military? Terrible day, nonetheless. And at this Article 232 hearing, I'm sure the witnesses will help nail his fate, and I hope that they do, because he needs to go as far away as possible, far away as possible, after ripping apart way too many lives. All right, ripping apart in a different sense when we talk about the infrastructure of this country. I'm sure you all have gripes about certain streets that have crazy potholes on it, and gee, do you think the city's going to repair it, or what's going to happen with the major thoroughfare or the bridge problem that was exposed after what happened in Minneapolis, St. Paul, that somebody had parts that needed to be replaced and they were literally barely hanging on the by threads of steel in the various spans across the country. There were so many bridges that were found to be inadequate. And then there's some runway problems and whatnot. But to the tune of what? How much money has to be paid to fix what needs to be fixed? And where's that money coming from? $50 billion from where? Well, it means that there's going to be more taxes on your gasoline, so expect a big increase, because I can't see how they'll leave this off. How about the transportation man, the one who's behind what's going to happen with the infrastructure, Secretary Samuel Skinner, had this to say about the president being committed and the opportunity we have here. Here's what he said.
This president is committed to infrastructure investment. He's committed to a long-term approach. We have a real opportunity here to do something that's badly needed in this nation, and that's to invest real money, real dollars in real infrastructure that's going to get people, that's going to get people back to work, going to get people to work, home from work.
All right, I have a phrase for all of you. Work out of your home. More people are working out of their home, even when they have corporate jobs. If you can do it, do it. You know why? Because when they jack up gasoline and you're infuriated because you're paying more taxes for everything else, you work from home, at least you're only going to have to drive around in your little bubble of a neighborhood to get your groceries and pick up other stuff. So you won't get slammed with that tax where you have to drive a half an hour, 45 minutes, and you just it's just another thing to throw more, another log on the fire while everything's burning and Rome is burning and the U.S. is burning and we're burning up over how much we have to pay. And that's what's going to happen. Is it good to fix the infrastructure? Yes. Is the timing poor? Yes. How are we paying for it? Through gasoline taxes. Even if they're not saying it now, I guarantee that's where we're going to find that it ultimately comes out of, which means it affects every single one of us. Coming up, we're going to talk about the South Carolina man who is fighting desperately to keep some of the signs in his yard that others find offensive, and the State Board of Elections with all these court orders from the Department of Justice, because where are the absentee ballots? The deadline has passed to send them out, but the troops have not received it. It's a big mistake. That's next.
Are you concerned about dropping or losing your cell phone? Are you tired of dealing with cell phone clips or holsters? Then this message is for you. Introducing Clip Hanger, the best and most affordable cell phone holder on the market, made to keep your phone secure and accessible. Clip Hanger works with all cell phones, including the iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, and even iPods. When attached to a pant loop, Clip Hanger won't poke when you sit down. And for women, Clip Hanger easily attaches to any purse strap. Carry a phone in your pocket? Simply use one finger to pull it out with Clip Hanger. Clip Hanger is thin. in and simple, has a one-year warranty against breakage, and prices start at only $10.95. With your clip hanger purchase, we'll also send you the auto hook for your car and ship everything to you absolutely free. See the amazing clip hanger and the clip hanger light with its built-in LED flashlight at myphoneclip.com. To order, call 801-719-2680. That's 801-719-2680. Or visit myphoneclip.com to get your clip hanger today.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Talking signs and absentee ballots in just a second, but first a quick follow-up here on America Tonight, because we talked about the story a bunch. It's not too far, maybe a stone's throw away from where I grew up, but a Philadelphia area school district, remember the one, the Lower Marion School, that admitted to capturing thousands of webcam photos and screenshots from student laptops in what they were saying was their way to locate missing computers because kids would lose them. So then there was a civil rights lawsuit that was filed back in February. The district saying that the district used its remote tracking technology to spy on one of the kids, Blake Robbins. So evidence unearthed in the case showed that he was photographed 400 times in a two-week period. Sometimes when he was sleeping in his bedroom. So they did get a settlement. The settlement was this. He gets this kid, 15-year-old Blake, gets $175,000, and a second student who filed a suit, Jalil Hassan, gets $10,000. Their lawyer, Mark Holtzman, this is America, folks, you know how much he gets? $425,000 for his work on the case. So one kid gets $10,000, the other $175,000. He gets the bulk of it, though. But they did nail them to the wall. The district's insurer has agreed to pay $1.2 million toward legal and settlement costs. They just want this nightmare to go away. Whatever idiot decided that, we have all these Apple laptops, and we've got 2,300 students at the two high schools, so we're going to have to put this tracking device in to make sure, because we don't want to lose the school computers. I think there's an easier way to do that That has to be the dumbest thing. Because you just know, of course you're going to catch kids doing other things. Of course you're going to be taking photographs of them. And what do you think this is going to end up in? Court. It's obvious. Are people that dumb running the schools? It makes no sense. He cannot think that. Oh, let's put a chip. That goes along with the whole let's just chip everybody. Let's just chip everybody. Then we can always find wherever we can find them wherever they are. Just like the dogs and the cats, we'll be able to locate anyone at any time of the day. Please give me a break. All right, let's talk about this. It might have been Fox that broke the story, and you know I didn't even think of it. Of course, just assuming that what's right is done, but apparently not, because the Department of Justice is saying they didn't. This whole idea that they're getting these ballots out, they didn't get them. So those ballots that are supposed to be sent out to troops didn't get there. So what does that mean? Perhaps a game changer in some of these elections. You know, we've heard this before. Remember back in Florida? Remember the hanging chads and the absentee ballots and some of the other things that happened? Well, one of them was this. What happens in some of those voting areas where the military hasn't been heard? That was one of the key things in that Bush-Gore election. So here we go again. When you get a wrinkle, don't you just fix it across the country? So this legal action, by the way, would mark the most aggressive federal intervention yet aimed at this debate over how to enforce compliance with that Military and Overseas Voter Empowerment Act, which is kicked in 2009. Simply put, it's move. And that's what's happening. The Department of Justice has had to intervene, especially in several New York counties that missed deadlines that were going to ensure that overseas ballots were sent, received, and counted on time, because it could be the difference, maybe, in somebody getting pushed over the top. And this was one of the things that was supposed to happen. So now what do they possibly do? Express mail? I guess it's going to have to be express mail. They were supposed to get all the ballots out by October 1st. What day are we on? The 11th, the 12th? And, in fact, in New York, for example, under the election schedule, ballots have until the 12th to be finalized. That's not a good thing. Those dates don't match up. These ballots need to be on a plane and get to Afghanistan now. Now you've got men and women overseas fighting and dying for things like our right to vote. And they have as much right to be a part of it as anyone else. They should absolutely have a voice. You just can't ignore them. And stupidly, whoever was in charge just glossed over it. And in this case, as much as I hate these kind of lawsuits, if it drew attention to it, then it's a good thing, because it should have happened. All right, signs in yards. Things with neighbors are always touchy. You can really like your neighbors, but then something crazy happens. They do something you don't like as far as what they park in front of their house or whatever, and gee, you're a nice guy, you don't want to complain, or there's noise at 3:00 in the morning and you can't sleep, and finally you get to sleep and then you're woken up. All right, so here's the deal. Oscar Moultrie was forced to remove some signs from his yards after Berkeley County told him he needed a permit and he had to pay $25 per sign if he wanted to keep them up. So what the scoop is the man, the South Carolina man, says, look, these are my constitutional rights and they're violated. They don't want him to have his Bible-themed signs is what it is. Like he's got Ezekiel chapters 33 to 39, Jeremiah 21 to 27. You get my drift. And he says that the ordinance requires people to obtain government permission before putting signs up on their private property other than for sale or for rent, political signs, and there's some other exceptions. He says, look, it violates my First Amendment rights to freedom of speech and freedom of religion. He never got any complaints about a sign. Then all of a sudden, he was asked to pay the money. Isn't that the truth? If you just pay the money, we don't care what you have on your signs. It's okay. We'll turn a blind eye. So He's filed a lawsuit in South Carolina in a district court there, and he's asking the court to issue an injunction that would bar enforcement of the ordinance and declare it unconstitutional. This is going to start to get bigger, I think, this story. And it might even go up a little bit further because this happens in neighborhoods all over the place. And I'm sure some people are uncomfortable with things that their neighbors put up. How big is the sign? What does it say? You know, all that sort of stuff. And when I read the story earlier, I thought about it. So I took a little spin around two neighborhoods where I live, and I saw signs up. I saw an interesting amount of signs. Nothing like this man has up. There were leftover religious signs like Jesus has risen, God is here again, or something, meaning from Easter time. I could tell they were signs that had just stayed there. And their lawn was actually nice, but that was still out. And then there were just decorations of Halloween and stuff. But there were a lot of political signs because here we are at the midterm elections for who's ever running for governor, the Democrat or the incumbent Republican, which would be in Texas. But didn't notice any signs like the kind that he has up. His signs, however, are pretty small. And now you're messing with the whole religious message on your private property, government approval, $25 fee. I'm thinking this one is going to be dead on arrival, that the county's ordinance won't hold up. If it should, then this, I think, is going to go up the flagpole because the ordinance isn't written correctly. And if it would have to be amended if it's going to somehow stay the way it is. I mean, the county can say you have to have permits for all signs, but they don't have that right now, and so they are violating his rights, and I think that's what will happen in a court of law. However, the bigger story may be that it ends up going a lot higher than just this district court. It could go maybe a little bit further than that. So we'll see what happens in South Carolina, keeping an eye on that story. And maybe this affects some of you and some of the spots where you live. Somebody putting up signs or something else, and do they have to pay for those signs? What does it all mean? Everybody has their hand out, I think, is what it means. If you have any thoughts, I always say this, but I'm going to throw it out again because we're having an avalanche of email. We're having a great time with it, too. Send it to us at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. And don't forget, on another note, to mark calendars, our Thursday show means, nail the score. Back again, Steve Boudin, our pal, who looks at all the odds of things, is going to join us to break down week 6 in the NFL. Should be a lot of fun. Hang through.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network. Yes.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Listen up, friends. This is Alex Jones with key information. The mainstream media is now admitting that we're going into a depression. Don't be dependent on the government for you and your family. You need to get your own supply of high-quality storable foods from eFoodsDirect.com. They're the best company out there, the longest continually operating, with a ton of great food to choose from. It's all fresh and made on a monthly basis, not some old cruddy food they're selling you like some of the other guys. Try their new evacuation pack, a 2-week supply of delicious, easy-to-fix food. It comes with all the equipment you need to prepare it, with open talk of a strike on Iran in the next 3 months, the crisis in the Gulf, and possible evacuations. Get yourself and your family ready today. The place to go is eFoodsDirect.com. Go to their website online right now, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, or call 800-409-5633. Again, on the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, or give them a call at 800-409-5633.
Locked up for a murder you didn't commit. I can't even fathom it. As much as I could stretch my mind, I can't even do it. That's exactly what happened to Chris Scott. He's one of 12 men exonerated, thank goodness, for various crimes, featured in a powerful, I mean powerful, new book written by Peyton Budd and her mother Dorothy Budd called Tested, How 12 Wrongly Imprisoned Men Held On to Hope. And they join us right now, here and now, on America Tonight. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hello.
Let's start with you, Chris. As I said, I thought about this today for a long time. And, you know, it's like when you're kids and somebody accuses you of something and you jump up and down and say, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. I can't imagine, though, at a much different level what it was like, first of all, when it happened. Take us back to that moment when you were charged with a crime and went through the court system. Did you think that, no, certainly they're going to find out that I'm innocent? Did you truly believe that you were going to end up in prison for 12 years?
Well, no, I didn't. It was kind of like a trying experience for me going through that type of drama. Like you say, when they first picked me up for it, you know, I thought maybe being there a few days and they'll get everything, you know, corrected or whatever. But apparently they didn't get it corrected, and I spent 13 years in prison for something I didn't do.
Wow. What What got you through those days and years?
Well, it was basically my faith, the hope I had in God, and just kept praying and you know, just coming out trying to, you know, get back and counter with the woman that I loved that I lost while I was in prison. You know, they just kept me fighting and just made me hold on even stronger, the love that I had for the lady that I was in love with.
Yeah. Wow. We're going to come back to your story in a second, Chris, but let's go to Dorothy. And Dorothy, you and your daughter Peyton put this, like I said, just an incredibly powerful book together with an amazing message, I think, certainly after you read these stories and how terrifically sad it is. But then, of course, at least they're exonerated in the end. What drove you and Peyton, to put this together? What sent you to this position?
I was a prosecutor in the Dallas County District Attorney's Office back during the years that a number of these convictions happened. So I worked in the prosecutor's office back in the time before there was DNA, before we knew quite as much about how, you know, blind lineups ought to be conducted, about, you know, some of the dangers of the potential of misidentification through cross-racial identifications, those kind of things. So to tell you the truth, whenever I'd see in the paper that there was an exoneration, I always looked to make sure it wasn't one of my cases, which thankfully it never has been, but I think that sensitized me to the issue. And then I just started thinking about these men and their stories, and I just kept thinking, how could you come out of, you know, a couple of these men served over 25 years for crimes they didn't commit. Chris, that's on the line with us, you know, was accused of capital murder. If he'd gotten, you know, the death penalty instead of a life sentence, he would probably have been put to death before, you know, the evidence could come to light to prove him innocent. And I just started thinking, how do you come out of that and not just be eaten up with guilt? So I went to attorney Craig Watkins, who's the district attorney in Dallas now, and asked him if he could bring those men together and I could talk to him. And I'm not a writer, but my daughter Peyton is, so we began the process of interviewing them and trying to learn their stories.
Yeah, Peyton, you are an award-winning writer, so you get this opportunity with your mom to hook up with her to interview not just Chris, but 11 others and hear their stories. Boy, it had to be exhausting, and it had to be a little gut-wrenching, I think, for you, because as much as it's great that they're exonerated and Chris can attest to that, it's still, that's a long time. What did you, day after day, what did you walk away from after you talked to everybody?
You know, it was really hard, and after we go through some of these interviews, it might be four and a half hours long, you were exhausted after that. It was like you've kind of been through a little bit of this experience with these guys, and even just doing that, you know, it's just exhausting. And I think really what got me through was once I met these men, I realized that their stories needed to be shared with the world. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, I realized that I was the one who was going to share these stories, and I was who was responsible for putting them, you know, in a beautiful way that people could relate to. And so that's kind of what got me through, was just knowing that I had to do it once I had met these guys.
Yeah. What's been the reaction for you, Peyton, from people that you know in seeing the book?
You know, I have a great support system and a lot of people who, you know, everyone that's seen the book so far has come back with great reactions, and that just feels really, really good to me. And honestly, the most rewarding part of this whole thing was when we finally shared the end product with the men, these exonerees, and they were happy with it. That was really, you know, my ultimate moment in this whole thing.
Yeah, I can certainly see that, absolutely. Dorothy, you talked about this as being a former child sex crimes prosecutor, worried that somebody would be exonerated and it was somebody that you were involved with, somebody that you had prosecuted. When you look back at the work you and Peyton have done and the interviews and pulling this together, do you think that there may be many more people out there who slipped through the cracks, who are sitting in jail, who are innocent and maybe sitting there on capital murder?
I mean, that's certainly what these men tell us, and I think it's what statistics tell us. It's sort of a fluke that there have been so many exonerees in Dallas. admittedly, we had very gung-ho prosecutors and, you know, proactive police in those back in the days when this was happening, and I'm sure it still happens. But I think that could be said about many, many places. In Dallas, we had a combination of just luck that they had a big evidence locker, and they saved a lot of this evidence. So it could be retested years later when the science developed. And you know, really, it's only, you know, rape cases that have DNA. Chris Scott's case was one that was the first non-DNA exoneration in the country. You know, those, somebody, the actual perpetrator has to come forward and confess. But, you know, there's no reason to think that it's only rapes and murders that there are false convictions in. I'm sure it happens in robberies, burglaries, everything else, but there's never going to be any scientific evidence to prove someone's innocence.
Yeah, what do you hope that people who read the book get out of this?
You know, this book is certainly about issues of justice, but more than that, I think this is a book that, you know, everyone can learn something from, because what I really didn't expect was I expected to hear stories about flaws in the justice system, and I expected to hear stories about, you know, overcoming. I just didn't expect the varied strengths these men found in these incredibly trying situations. So what I think you can get out of this book, besides just that they're great stories full of twists and turns that will surprise you, is that, you know, everybody's life hits places where they feel like they can't go on, where they're stuck, where they're trapped, where they feel imprisoned by their circumstances. And these 12 men, each of them in their own way, found a way to be in one of the most difficult, confining places you could possibly be in life and still come to a spot where they found strength inside themselves to move forward and overcome some of those challenges. So it's inspiring.
Yeah. Chris, when you were, you know, all those days, all those moments that you were passing and you said, you know, you believed in God and you kept thinking that would get you through, and then the woman you loved, you were thinking about her as well. Did you feel like the other people around you believed you? Did you feel like you, did you hold on to the hope that the people at least closest to you believed, look, Chris is innocent and we know it, and we hope one day that he gets out because this is wrong. Did you get that support from people?
Yes, you know, my mom, my brothers and sisters, especially my kids, because when I went to prison, they were so young, and they couldn't understand why that this happened to me. So they had brought them down there to see me, and I had to explain to them that, you know, what you may hear or see on TV is not true, that your father is not this type of person, that I never, you know, ever try to hurt anybody that's not trying to hurt me first. And, you know, once I felt like my kids really believed me as them being so young and accepting it, and my mom and brothers and sisters accepted it too, you know, that was enough encouragement and strength to feed off of right there and just kept making me want to prove my innocence.
Yeah, did you feel like when you were in prison, like obviously now you've met the 11 others, but did you feel as though you've met other people when you were incarcerated that probably are in the same situation as you, and you believe them when they tell you, look, I didn't do this? Do you think there are others, like the question I asked, that are locked away innocent, and they're innocent?
Oh, yes, you know, hundreds, maybe even thousands, you know, that's in a position like me, because, you know, when you're in there for something you didn't do, you know, it's like a darkness, you know, just like a dark cloud is just over you until, you know, you finally try to get some help and let some sunshine shine in. But yes, I'm quite sure it's hundreds, maybe thousands of other people in prison right now that was wrongly convicted like me.
Do you remember when you were exonerated, what was that moment like for you?
Oh, man, it was like being reborn again. It's like your whole life has just started over, because I had lost so much time in prison to get out. It was a very beautiful, glorious day. And that's something I would cherish for the rest of my life, that first day of me getting out, seeing all my family, my friends, and everybody that was in the neighborhood that knew we was, you know, innocent, to be there and show support when they had did something they did wrong and made it right.
Yeah. All right, hang through, everybody. We're going to continue this incredible conversation. As I said, I can't imagine being locked up and knowing that you're innocent. We're going to talk more about this story with Peyton and Dorothy Budd and, of course, Chris Scott as well. So stay with us here on America Tonight.
It's the end of summer blowout sale at HerbalHealer.com.
Now take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on colloidal silver.
500 parts per million, pharmaceutical grade.
All sizes from 2 ounces to a gallon on sale.
It's simply the best colloidal silver available.
And CoQ10 100 milligrams with hawthorn.
An exceptional supplement for heart and arterial health.
Is only $19.
Plus, get the number one arthritis supplement, glucosamine chondroitin.
60 caps for only $12.
Where?
HerbalHealer.com.
Super Femplex and Super Maleplex, both great formulas for reproductive tonification,
are on sale now. 90 tabs, only $15.
Need a safe and mild colon detoxifier?
Herbal Healer Academy's Colon Enhancer large 250 capsule bottle is now only $18. There's so much more at HerbalHealer.com.
But not much time.
The end of summer blowout sale ends October 13th.
New customers get a free catalog with your first order.
Log on and hit the summer special now at HerbalHealer.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
And we're back talking about something that's, I mean, just absolutely incredible in my mind when I think of, and I've already said this, but the thought of being locked up and knowing you didn't do something and trying to get somebody to listen to you and just holding on to the hope that you would be able to get out. That's what happened to Chris Scott, who was convicted of capital murder. He spent really 13 years, I said 12, but really 13 in jail for a murder he didn't commit. And now his story is being told thanks to Dorothy and Peyton Budd. They put together a terrific, terrific book that I've mentioned now a couple of times, and it's called Tested, How 12 Wrongly Imprisoned Men Held On to Hope. And they join us for more on this conversation. You know, Kristen, we were talking about just there when you got out what it was like, and you always cherish that memory. People listening to you are going to want to know what happened to the woman who you held on to in your heart while you were there in prison. What happened when you got out?
Well, like I say, when I entered the court bed and then seen that beautiful smile of hers, it kind of made my day right there, knowing that I was free, knowing that she knew I was innocent the whole time. It's just something I felt like I wanted to prove to me and to her that I was innocent. I mean, after the thing was over, we had a nice time. We went out to dinner. We got kind of like reacquainted with each other. I got to meet her daughter because she had a kid while I was in prison, which the baby father was here too. So, you know, it was good. I mean, we still amongst friends. We still remain friends. And, you know, I still love Brandy. And that's why I say hope and faith played a good role in this, because one day I hope that, you know, we can rekindle our romance that we had, mm-hmm. because I felt like it was a romance, a love story that really came true.
Yeah. Boy, we got our fingers crossed for you for sure. The other 11 who are part of the book, Chris, do you ever get together with them? Have you spent any time with them other than, of course, when you were all maybe at various times being interviewed by Dorothy or Peyton or for the photo shoots or when you did the Larry King thing? Do you talk to any of them now that you're all on the outside?
Oh, yeah. You know, we kind of like keep in contact with each other basically 4 or 5 times out of a week, you know, because we want to hear about what's going on in their life. We want to hear if they're having problems or if they're struggling or whatever, you know, things, whatever direction they're going in, we try to be there for one another. And also, every fourth Saturday of the month, we have an exoneration meeting where all the exonerees from Dallas get together and, you know, just converse about things that we got going on, like bills we trying to get passed in the legislature, and just talking about various crimes that we all have been through and how we can help other people in the situation that we was in.
What was, you know, we were talking about how being free was incredible in that moment was and the whole exoneration, but what was the toughest thing as you try to come back into society after being away from everybody other than visits and whatnot for 13 years? I mean, just even, I'm just thinking of pop culture and movies and everything else. You have a lot of catching up to do. So
yeah.
what was the toughest thing? Is that it, that time has moved forward?
Yeah, it's just so many different things has changed. See, when I was out, we still had VCRs. Now it's DVDs. I had like a Motorola phone. Now you have, what, 10, 15, 20 types of different phones, and a credit card, how you put the credit card in for your gas. They didn't have none of that when I was out. It was just raise the handle and pump your gas in the car. So, you know, that was basically it.
Yeah, no kidding.
In the highways, everybody drives so fast. I was kind of like scared to drive on the highway at first because the speed limit had changed so much. So I had stopped driving for a minute until I kind of like got, you know, the feel of driving again and the speed limit, you know. But other than that, my transition was pretty good.
Good for you. Dorothy, when you listen to Chris's story, and I asked you this question, and I asked Chris this too, you heard we were discussing, are there other men who are innocent that are incarcerated right now, where do you think the justice system is failing? What would, as somebody who knows the justice system, what do you think should be done differently?
You know, that is a really interesting question, and I think these cases show that it doesn't happen in any one way. Some of these cases are genuine misidentification cases. Some of these were bungled lineups. You know, they're all different ways that it can fail, and it seems like what happens is, you know, somebody gets targeted, and I don't mean targeted in a bad way, but becomes a suspect in a crime, and in these cases, you know, it just kind of snowballs, and one mistake's made after another, and it's not necessarily that anybody has any ill intent, but it is that it's a system that sometimes makes some assumptions, and, you know, it's easy to be found guilty, you know, sometimes when you're not. And so I think that what it is not so much that you're ever going to have a perfect justice system, but that it's really important that there are some ways for people who do get falsely convicted to have their pleas heard, things like having the integrity unit and, you know, that Craig Watkins set up in Dallas, or things like having, you know, a innocence project. I mean, many of these men describe writing, you know, hundreds and thousands of letters before they found one person who would look into their innocence. You know, Chris, one thing that was so amazing about his story is he went in and he said he was determined not to get in any trouble. He said the whole time he was there, he got in trouble one time for smoking a cigarette. And other than that, he never got in trouble in prison, never smoked a cigarette again, because he was so determined he was going to get out and get back to the woman he loved. But, you know, when he went into this jailhouse lawyer, he said, well, you know, can't you do something? Can't you do a DNA test? And the jailhouse lawyer said, well, this is a murder case. There isn't any DNA. You're never going to get out. Your odds are 1 in a million that you'll ever get out. And somehow he found the strength and courage to hold on to that. In fact, I'm looking at his arm right now. He's got a big tattoo that he tattooed on him, had tattooed in prison after that lawyer said that. And he wrote, against all odds, because he was determined he was going to be the one in a million to get out. And that's just an amazing story of hope. And right there, if there can be people with that much hope in the face of that, I think the justice system has to at least be willing to look and give them a chance to be heard on the chance that they really are innocent, because nobody is served by having somebody who's innocent in prison, because this is a capital murder case. If Chris is in there when he didn't do it, then the man who did do it is out on the streets.
Yeah, boy, that's the other side of that, absolutely. Peyton, I asked your mom this, but in looking at the book, and as I keep describing it, it's so powerful, just makes you tear up, really, when you start to read everybody's story. What do you hope people get from reading the book? What do you hope somebody might pull out of seeing your work?
Yeah, you know, these men have genuinely changed me in the way that I look at the world. And I think the way they did that is just that they don't take anything for granted. You know, they've been taken and hidden away from the world, and now that they've entered society, they're not going to take one moment that they have for granted. They really appreciate every second that they have, and that's something that I think that everyone can look at and try and do. So I think that's really something that people can take away.
Yeah. What do you do for a follow-up to this? Do you and your mom do, I mean, there's got to be hundreds of other stories that we don't know about, even in other states across, this is a national show, and I'm sure there are many other prisons where there are men sitting there right now, maybe even women, who haven't done what they're serving the time for. What would you like to do in the future? Anything more along these lines?
You know, it really is a challenging question, because we're just seeing from, you know, the interaction that we're getting on, you know, the book's website, on Tested's website, and, you know, on some of the blogs from the Larry King Show, that, you know, people are just crying out. You know, family members are saying, I have family members in prison who have had their, you know, either been denied to even get DNA testing, or they've had DNA testing, it's come back and proven they're innocent, and I'm still tangled up in the legal system, we can't get them out. You know, these are 12 men in this book. In Dallas County alone, there have been 25 exonerees, so there are many stories to be told. And one thing that I really learned from this is that every one of these guys has an amazing story to tell and to be heard. You know, who knows if we'll ever do it again, but there are certainly more things to be said and learned from these men and women.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. Chris, you get the last word on this one. The best, hands down, you've described it to us, but the best thing that's happening now since you've gotten out? I mean, are you eating great food? Are you hanging out with a lot of fun people? What is the best thing in your daily life right now?
My daily life is really just dealing with Peyton and Dory Budd. They've made such an inspiration in all of our lives because of the book and the togetherness they have formed with all of us and them. Like, you know, we didn't know them from Adam and Eve, and they came in and brought us in and embraced us with a whole lot of love and kindness. And, you know, being around them just made me a much, much better person. And like we say, we kind of communicate every day, you know, 2-3 times through the day, because we have a lot of things going on right now, trying to meet appointments. And just being around them motivates me to just keep on moving.
All right, terrific story. Check it out, testedthebook.com. Thanks, guys. That was terrific.